Discussion with Ajahn Suchin in Bangkok, July 2022, before the trip to Bang Sai. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Nina, Jonathan, Sarah, Sukin, Haji, Sundra, Shanti, Mark, Eve, Maeve, Azita, Tamtan, Tin, Carmen, Dream, Vincent, Alberto, Hang, Tadao, Anne and Betty.
I had a discussion with a friend, and she finds it tedious if Ajahn always repeats there is seeing, there is hearing. So it depends on people's accumulations. Some might find, why is she saying that always the same thing? And others find it a good reminder, since we know so little about seeing and hearing and thinking, because it seems that seeing was always there already, and they don't realize that it is only a very short moment. So maybe it's a good topic if Ajahn can elaborate why always about seeing and hearing, these are the realities. But they are there all the time. There is seeing all the time. So why not know more about them?
That is the answer. The best moment in life is to understand the truth of what is there now. Otherwise, we have no understanding of life. We think that life is what happens from moment to moment, one's life. But in truth, what is there, the truth of this moment? Is there any understanding or no understanding at all? And it passes on from moment to moment, unknowingly, no understanding at all of each moment. It means that there's no understanding of the whole life if there is no understanding of the truth of this moment, right? So what is the best thing in life to understand? The truth of life. What is birth? What is born? What dies? What is death? Just thinking about many things which just arise and then gone all the time, non-stop. From this moment to other moment and other moment and other moment. Nothing lasts. They are gone instantly. No understanding of the truth of what is there in this moment to be known. Otherwise, it's I. But where is it? And when it's not I, and there is the idea of it's me, right or wrong, what is the use of the I? Just in a moment, and then gone. Something to think about the truth of what is there now. To be known, otherwise the truth is not known at all. Because no thought about it. No considering about what is there now at all. So how can there be the understanding of life? Because life is this moment. So just live without understanding of the truth of life in a moment. Is that the understanding of the truth? And what is the truth, the absolute truth now?
Also could be added that in the Buddha's teaching to his listeners, whenever he mentioned the aggregates or the elements or whatever, the first item in those particular classifications is always visible object, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
And that's how he started to explain the realities that need to be fully understood. He didn't start with the mind or attachment or gilesas or anything like that. It's generally when he enumerated the realities, started with the sense door objects and the sense door consciousnesses. And in many, many suttas, that is repeated time and again.
Yes, because we always pay attention to the sense objects which are experienced and are forgetful of the consciousness, seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, which experience them. So we are very happy for all the reminders.
They are what are present and appearing all the time. So it is appropriate that there should be reminders about the importance of their being understood as they truly are. Otherwise, people may get the idea that the Buddha emphasized having less attachment or not having so much dosa, that sort of thing. But the emphasis seems to be on those realities that Ajahn also mentions repeatedly.
And I think it can be a reminder of how much ignorance there is. There's seeing, there's hearing, there's just ignorance about all that's going on.
And usually we're thinking about other things that we're so interested in all day, even in during the night when we wake up. And so it's just a reminder about what life really is at this moment. And even though it may seem that we've heard about it so many times, but still the tendency, the ignorance, as Sukhin mentioned, and the attachment to follow other stories, other kinds of interests is there all the time. So then we need to continually be reminded about what the reality is, the truth is right now.
It's so difficult for people to realize when there is clinging, even a little clinging, to experiences and to the objects.
Nina, I think you hit the nail on the head there, because people don't appreciate the importance, the significance of understanding the mundane realities that are appearing all the time. They might think that the development of the path is coming to see things that aren't normally seen in daily life, or that it requires some particular kind of focus on mental states, for example. All that, as we know, is a misunderstanding, a misappreciation of the path as taught by the Buddha, a path of understanding what is appearing, not a path of going to look for things that are not appearing.
By seeing right now, is there any interest to understand the truth of the seeing? It's there. Is there any interest to understand it, because it is there? Or think about other things, never to understand the truth of seeing right now as it is, to be truthful to the truth. Whether there is interest to understand the truth of this moment or not, if there is no interest to understand what is there in a moment, there can never be the understanding of what we call life, because life exists in only a moment. So just a question, there is seeing right now. Is there any understanding of it? And is there interest to understand the truth of it? That's what we are talking about, just to understand the absolute truth of what is there, which appears as not as it is at all. So what is the truth and what is not true now? To have wrong understanding or right understanding of what is there as it is. When there's no understanding, what is there? No understanding at all about that which is now appearing. And there can be a little understanding about it if there is interest to understand. So to understand the truth of what is there in life, it has to begin now. Whatever is there now appears. Can there be the moment of beginning to understand the truth of it? Even what is seen is not really known at all. Is it something? Is it table? Is it bottle? and what is the truth of what is seen and seeing right now. As it is, no matter when and what and where, seeing sees what and what is seeing. Is there any understanding of the absolute truth of each one which appears? Because if there is no interest to understand, never understand the truth of it at all, because it's gone instantly as soon as it appears, true or not, beginning to be truthful to the truth little by little, to understand the truth of what is there as it is. Is there any truth of this moment? Is this moment true, real, can be known? And if we do not talk about it, can there be the understanding of the truth of it? And when we do not talk about it, what is there? Is this not life, which can be known right now, because the truth is the truth? What is there? There can be the understanding of the truth of that which is there appearing. So we are here because there is interest to understand the truth of what is there now.
Another question that my friend asked, she, about clinging to hearing Dhamma and clinging to be in a meditation center. She said it is the same, but I try to explain that even clinging is only a reality which is conditioned, and that we don't hear anywhere else. That is the main difference, because clinging comes in all the time. But now, by hearing Dhamma, we learn the true nature of clinging.
If we don't study the truth of what is there, can there be the understanding, no matter of what is there at all? That's why from hearing and considering about the teachings of the truth, there can be the beginning to understand what is there as it is, little by little, because what appears now is not as it is. If we don't study or hear about the truth of each reality, there can never be the understanding of the truth as the truth. As the truth, what does it mean? No one there at all. Beginning to consider whether what is there appearing is something, someone, or as it is. Not anyone at all. As it is. What is seen, no matter we call it visible object or color, it doesn't matter at all, as long as it's there seen. So what is the truth of it? It is seen at moment of seeing only. So how can it be someone or something permanent? Because when it does not appear, it's not there anymore. Whatever we take for whatever is so lasting, in truth, so very, very rapidly arising and falling away instantly. So what appears now is not just a moment ago, different than the object which is seen from moment to moment. Is that true? To begin to understand the impermanence of life, of everything, which is conditioned to arise, to appear, and then gone instantly. begin to understand the truth, that's all. Because before that, there is no understanding of the truth of what is there at all. So it's just the beginning to understand the truth, that's all, little by little, no matter what, as it is, before there can be the confidence of the truth, what is there is only when it appears in truth, it's gone instantly, never to arise again. Just have this confidence to understand the truth in order to let go wrong understanding of idea of self, not understanding the truth of just what is seen only.
And it's true, as your friend says, Nina, that there is clinging no matter here or in the meditation center, in the forest or in the city. There's clinging after seeing, after hearing. But if there is no discussion, no considering, no reflecting that it is a Dhamma, not my clinging, there will always be the idea of I and what I am attached to. And there will always be the idea of I trying to do something to have less clinging or less anger or less fear. So without that considering wisely, it's impossible for there ever to be less clinging or less idea of I. There has to be the hearing and considering so much and so deeply, because it's so deeply rooted, blinded by ignorance all the time. And I think that the more understanding, the more considering, the more one appreciates how much clinging, how little understanding there is, how much one needs to hear and consider again and again, because one is blinded and following wrong sanya, wrong thinking all the time.
And Sarah, as the Chan was talking about interest, the interest is understanding what appears. So at the level of listening, it is that interest is conditioned by the understanding. So at the level of listening, it's interesting about the interest in understanding the reality, which is now. And although there's bound to be a lot of attachment and ignorance, but there are glimpses of that interest conditioned by that level of understanding in between, unlike the idea that one needs to do something, go to another place, that actually shows no interest in what's now.
Interesting to hear the truth, otherwise panya cannot arise.
If there wasn't interest to hear about the truth, we wouldn't be here having this discussion. We'd be swimming and relaxing and playing. But many people who wish to follow a practice have no interest in discussing at all. So it depends on the interest, whether there's really interest to understand more about the truth and about the ignorance that is now, the patience to hear about seeing and what is seen again and again, and to reflect wisely about different realities, or whether there's no interest. And it doesn't matter, just different conditioned dharmas. We cannot make someone else interested if they have no interest.
No, and we can see for ourselves the interest in and understanding, even as initially Nina asked, some people are just bored about hearing, about seeing now and all that. It just shows that when the understanding, there's less understanding accumulated, there is bound to be interest in other things. Like even here now, we're thinking about other things. I'm thinking about other things all the time. It's just that's because the understanding is so little and the tendency to ignorance and attachment is so great.
Whether Panya is little or more, they have to be interested in listening Dhamma. This is the thing. If there's no interest to listen Dhamma, Panya cannot arise. Impossible.
sometimes we might be interested in shopping, like Kunjit, or sometimes interested in swimming or eating or choosing different dishes, and sometimes in hearing more about the different realities. So this is, as we discussed last week, just the way it is. It has to be very naturally developed, not forced at all.
Thanks for your question, Kunina. And I found all the answers very helpful. What I find really helpful there is the consideration aspect of that question that you posed, Nina, that that person may ask about, well, what's the difference really? We're in this place and you're in that place. But I think the key to that is consideration, careful consideration about what how we hear the Dhamma and how it's considered, whereas that runs contrary to the person who wants to go to a particular place. They just seem to be feeding that desire function, and there is little or no consideration given to the present moment. There's just the reaching out or the desire for to be in a certain place, which as many ways as we know is contrary to Dhamma.
She has accumulations to do so, but it is good to know that it is an accumulated tendency and not self, beyond control. It arises.
You know, they're very good points. Nina, I would add that it's so important to consider where those accumulations are leading us, if there are the accumulations to do that. So sometimes it can be a really catch-22, as we sometimes say in English. You're caught by your own accumulations and it's very difficult to step outside of them. We know that that is possible by accumulations and by conditions. So it is a difficult situation that many people find themselves in.
She doesn't like to discuss this very much. It's so a delicate point for her, and she feels so strongly about it.
Oh, totally. So we can see her attachment to that, and we would say to that, ideally it would be good if there could be more consideration and then more conditions for letting go. But because of the situation that she is in her own accumulation, she's in that spot that's very difficult. I think we all know of, I certainly do know, I've got a good friend, and he is very attached to his way of being, his practice. And I know I don't talk about it anymore, which is sad in a way, but that's just the nature of things. And people are the way they are because of conditions. And we can appreciate, as Tanajan reminds us often, of the unattainness of everything. Everything truly is anatta. And we forget that it takes incredible patience and commitment to truth, which is not always available to people.
I mean, usually we are trapped in the of one own akusala, more trap and more trap deeply, because we want to happen like this, like that, and it's just more and more tangled.
Yeah, exactly right. And that, of course, reminds me of the Suddhimagga, when it talks about virtually the first few verses there, it talks about the tangle that we get ourselves into that arises obviously by conditions, but we just get tied deeper and deeper by that tangle because we go down the wrong path.
And Sundara, we can sympathize with all those people because we know how difficult it is. Even it's so difficult for us. I mean, how many times we've been Achan has tried to help bring us back to what really is the, the object of understanding, what is understanding. And otherwise, it's so easy to be tangled, as Haji is saying, in our own akusala.
And it depends also, Nina, whether there is an opportunity to just ask gentle questions instead of just talking about seeing an invisible object. If she doesn't want to hear about it, one can just gently ask, what is the benefit from the meditation or going to the center? And what is the purpose? Just ask a few questions for her to consider rather than just telling the answers, perhaps. And I'd like to ask Ajahn about a comment that I think came up last time. You were talking about layers and layers of nimitta. And we've often talked about getting closer and closer to the reality. Could you talk about layers and layers of nimitta, Ajahn?
Yes. If there is no understanding of reality at all, because it's conditioned just to be only one reality. For example, there must be condition for seeing right now to arise. No one can make it arise. But there is now not only seeing. There's thinking and that which is seen and so many thought about what is seen. But what is the truth, the absolute truth about just one reality as seeing and that which is seen? They are different. But now there is seeing. How many times, how many moments of seeing to condition the idea of shape and form of that which is seen now? So many things, not only one thing appears, but so many things around. There must be seen. So how much, how many moments to condition the moment of what is seen to be some shape and form, to be remembered as something. Even just looking at one person, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and many, many different there to be known, to form up the idea of someone there, man, a woman, clothes and things, ornaments and so on, is that many, many layers of nimitta, shape and form. And that is the nimitta of many things at once as one opens one's eyes. But what about just one? Like a moment of seeing. How can just a moment of seeing appear as it's not there anymore? And now there are so many moments of seeing unknown. And what can appear is only the nimitta of only one reality as seeing. And now there's hearing many, many moments because there is also seeing right now, many things around at moment of hearing. So what is heard is not only one moment of hearing. It has to be the nimitta of many moments of seeing. Who knows the arising and falling away of just one reality at a time? Impossible. So many lanes. And what about the ideas about that which is seen?
So we can say that, of course, actually there is the nimitta of the reality, many, many experiences of the reality. But because there's also the nimitta of the shape, the form, the color, the signs, the details, and of the ideas of people and things. So there are so many layers that ignorance blinds one to the truth of the nimitta of the realities themselves. So these are the different layers of nimittas.
So usually one lives in the world of nimitta when there's no understanding of the truth of just only one reality at a time.
Almost all the day, even when we're in discussion, living in the world of nimitta, in the world of signs and details and colors and shapes and patterns and people and things.
And yes. The world of ignorance.
The world of ignorance, yes. Wrong sanya almost all the time, conditioning the thinking about the people and things and ideas that are seen. So This is another example of why one needs to hear again and again about the absolute realities in order to understand the nimitta of what is there, the truth at this moment. Otherwise, we're just lost in long stories all the time.
But Thanachan, whether you or Sarah can help me, from my understanding, what I just hear, there's nimitta of reality because they are succession of ultimate reality continuously, like seeing not just one moment, but there's many, many moments. So there's nimitta of seeing. But then you're saying that instantly when we open our eyes and we see things and form and all that, nimitta, many layers, this means the concept, right? Nimitta in this, when we're saying the layers, or whether I'm wrong or correct, please help me.
When it's not the understanding of reality, when it's not the understanding of the nimitta of reality, then it is different layers of thinking about ideas, nimitta of different ideas about what is real, of the signs, the details, the colors, the shape, and then of the people, the things, the books in the background, and so on.
And John, we were saying a minute ago about mostly living in a world of nimitta, but I thought that, in fact, it's always nimitta in samsara. And even for the arahat, for example, it is also the world of nimitta. Or have I misunderstood that?
No one cannot understand just one reality at a time. So beginning with understanding the nimitta, right? Even the moment of arising and falling away, it's also the nimitta of reality which arises and falls away. So no question about we live in the world of nimitta, even when there is the understanding without any kilesa as arahata. The world is like that. It's always known as nimitta of this and that, but no wrong understanding of what is there as it is. There can be right understanding intellectually about what is there is not self, but it's not arahata understanding because it has to develop from hearing, considering, and having confidence of the truth to condition moment of direct awareness with understanding of the truth, little by little, of just a reality only at a time as nimitta. So there can be the understanding of how much accumulation of ignorance and wrong understanding of what is there to be letting go little by little until it can be eradicated, never to arise again. And this is the way, the path, the very subtle path, understanding gradually of what is there little by little. How many aeons ignorance and wrong understanding they accumulated? So can it be eradicated just in a short time, even in this life or 10 lives ahead? Uncountable life. So this life is the development of parami, conditions for understanding, to let go ignorance. Naturally, by dhammas, not by anyone.
Another way to put it is layers and layers of ignorance, mm-hmm. We could say, instead of layers and layers of nimitta, we could say layers and layers of ignorance about the truth now, about the nimitta of realities now.
And this is the understanding of the truth, more and more understanding of this moment. With understanding or without understanding, that's all. More layers of ignorance, or more layers, little by little, of panya, right understanding.
More layers of panya, little by little, beginning to penetrate the layers of ignorance.
Could I ask a question? Citta experiences. And if it's a rupa, there's always only one object for a citta. But I got confused reading your book, Kunsujin. I remember it says that, for example, in a kalapa, not every rupa can be seen or whatever, heard or whatever it is. And now I'm confused that I know that other people are concept, but if we go to Paramatta Dhammas, and even though we cannot know, can different chittas, which are not in the same life stream, experience the same nimitta? Like now, in conventional sense, we think we can all look at the center of the table and see the same glass, for example. But in reality, is that completely only thinking, or is one rupa possibly experienced by different life streams? I mean, different chittas and different, do you know what I mean? Life streams.
At moment of concept, is there any seeing?
No, not anymore.
Because concept is moment of thinking about that which makes known as someone or something by from nimitta, right? Without nimitta, can there be any sort of concept? So what is concept? Can one reality be concept?
No.
Why not? It's there. It's not known as it's not there anymore. That's why we learn to understand the nimitta of just one reality. And when it makes known as a reality, a nimitta of a reality, it is concept as a reality. That's why we learn to understand layers of concept too. For example, there is seeing right now, arising and falling away. Each one cannot arise again, never to return at all. So what is there is not the same one which has arisen and fallen away. And what is seen is concept of seeing. In truth, so many seeing, arising and falling away. So, and that is concept about a reality too. And when it, that condition, shape and form, nimitta, concept of that nimitta is known. Another level of concept about things and people. And this is the hidden truth in life. Nothing is permanent. What is there now does not appear as it is, arising and falling away. Because the next moment replaces it instantly, like the same. But in truth, what is seen now, not only one moment of seeing, and the object which is seen is not just a reality, because one arises and falls away instantly. It forms up the idea of things with shape and different form, make known as this and that, as paper, shoes, and so on in life. So one is now living in the world of concept. But the one who has right understanding understands what's the difference between no understanding, ignorance about the truth, and beginning to understand what is there as no one, a reality, and nimitta of reality, and nimitta of concept.
I think in your book, I have to look it up, but you said that maybe visible object is not impinging, so it's not experienced by this chitta, but there may be other chittas. I don't know. Yeah, and that would be, for me, a concept, but in reality, there may be other people's chittas, let's say, that do see this same visible object.
What is the
significance? I think the sentence like that in the book.
You're asking whether the same visible object can impinge on two different eye bases.
No, one doesn't impinge on one, but maybe it can impinge on another one at the same moment. But they're chittas not of the same life stream. That's what I'm asking. I say, your chitta, Jonathan, doesn't notice it. It doesn't impinge, but it does for Sarah.
Sorry, I'm not clear what you're postulating.
What about the hardness that is touched now and now? Can it be the same hardness that is touched now and an instant later?
No, but it's not an instant later. It's the same instant.
But the hardness that is touched now, even if it was touched by two different cheetahs, can it be the same hardness?
Not for hardness, but I was wondering, well, that's a good question.
Visible object or any reality. It's like at this moment, we're sitting here in the same room, looking at the same picture. Can the visible object that is seen be the same?
So the answer is no.
Two different seeings.
So how come we think we see the same world?
Because of thinking. We all think that we can see Shanti on the screen with a fence in the back, but that is not the visible object that is seen. Because the visible object itself has arisen and fallen away countless times before there's even the nimitta of visible object that's experienced, let alone the idea about the details of the visible object that is seen.
I think it's just a conjecture. I think you may have misread the statement that you're basing the question on, but perhaps we better find it and consider it in its context.
I think you're right, Shanti. What you read probably was meant to point out that the visible object arising and falling away can be experienced by one person and not the other. That's it. So if you see something, another person is not seeing the same thing. So it's possible that you don't see and another person sees. Isn't that what you were asking about? What was meant?
I was all right with the first bit, but then you said impossible that I see and another person doesn't?
Right. I mean, one visible object impinging on one eye base, as Sarah was saying.
I think John was about.
But impossible that we both have the same impingement, of course. It's just that it struck me because I agree with what you all say. But I thought I have to look it up. Thank you.
Can one chitta, a moment of one chitta, experience two objects?
No.
That's why just one chitta experience only one object. But now so many appearing things around. What does it mean? Many chittas experiences just one object at a time. And when it experiences more and more and more, it conditions shape and form to be known as something, that's all. But in truth, a moment of citta, just the moment of arising and falling away of just one citta, cannot be realized at all by conditions or by conditioning.
Yes.
That's why understanding the absolute reality and then the nimitta of that only one category or one kind of that reality, and then the other on and on to break up the idea of permanent self or things.
And this is the meaning of khanda, which we discussed a little bit on DSG, the each rupa, each reality, it arises and falls away, never to appear again, never more than once in samsara. So it can only impinge once and it's gone completely, never to return again. So no group, no heap, no aggregate, just the rising and falling away of each conditioned reality once in samsara and then gone forever.
Actually, Sarah, I heard you say this morning, listening, that it's important to remember when the Buddha distinguished five khandhas, it's five kinds of khandhas, it's five types of khandhas, but that, for example, within the rupa khandha, every rupa, say, hardness or visible object is a khandha. So that was very helpful, yes.
Each one. I'll just ask Ajahn on a question on this. As Chanti found, and as people often mention, in English, khandha is always mistranslated, and everyone always talks about groups and heaps and aggregates, no understanding at all that every conditioned reality, present, future, past, present, future, interior, exterior, subtle, gross, etc., etc., each one is khandha. But there come to be all these wrong ideas. Is it the same in Thai? Do they have many mistranslations and the same wrong ideas about khandha as group and heap? Is it the same? That was a yes for anyone who didn't hear.
Just on that point, I'm not clear there what's entirely been said, but khandha, yes, we know when we talk about the five khandhas, we have an idea of what we're talking about. But khandha, the word can have many meanings depending on the context. This is not so relevant here, because khandha can mean the trunk of a tree, it can mean the shoulders. So it will always depend on the context as to where the word khandha appears.
So what is khandha?
Well, rupa khandha, Tanajan, well, that we can say that
no,
appears
I mean,
now.
Excuse me. I mean, just the word khandha. What is it?
That word khandha, well, we'd always have to look at the context, but it can mean like the shoulder, or the shoulder of a person is in Pali is referred to as, that's referred to as the khandha. Sometimes it's referred to, there are many examples. I'm trying to think of some examples contextually. But it can mean other than what we generally refer to in the conventional sense. It refers to the shoulders. That's one example I know of.
That's why I listened to Joshua in many contexts about the explanation of just one reality or one word about reality. For example, khandha. What does it mean? What is the truth of akhandha? Is that the word akhandha? Or it means many khandhas, or just one khandha at a time. For example, when we talk about seeing, it's real. What is it? Does it arise to seeing at a time, or just one seeing in a moment only, never be two seeing at a time? So when one reality arises and falls away, is it not reality? Is it not khandha? Isn't it rupa? When it's rupa, and when it's citta. So one citta, is it khandha, arises and falls away? Or one khandha, one citta is not khandha. Many cittas are khandha. What is true? What is the understanding of what is meant by khandha? And in what context?
Yeah, the context will always seem to be important to Tanajan. I'm just looking
one
at my Pali.
Context about citta or khandha. Well, does khandha arises and falls away? The previous, the last, the present, and the future khandha?
Certainly it arises.
Seeing is a khandha. Does it mean many seeing altogether, or just one seeing, one moment of seeing arises and falls away? So just one seeing is one khandha. And
just
we
one.
Talk about category of rupa khandha. It's not vedana khandha. So many, many different moments, many, many different rupa, many, many moments of cetasika. Each one isn't not khandha. Doesn't it arise and fall away? And what arises and falls away isn't it not condemned?
Certainly, Tongjong. Yeah.
That's why when there is the understanding of the truth of each word, we can understand, no matter it's in what context, about different words, but same meaning. But different words used to condition understanding better and better in different words, different ways.
Mm.
That's why when we read Tipitaka without considering the truth of it, it cannot be understood as it is. That's why there is meditation center, try the other way to experience reality without any understanding as intellectual understanding to condition the moment of direct awareness at all. So if there is wrong understanding of khanda, can just one kind or one moment of a reality be known as only one citta, one namakanda cannot be known no matter what kind of khanda, whether it is rupa khanda, vedana khanda, sanya khanda, sankhara khanda, vinyana khanda. Does it agree with what is there in the context?
Well, we'll have to agree, Tanajan. You know, if we don't look at the text carefully, it's easy to misunderstand. I was just saying that the word khanda can have different meanings in different contexts.
Shall we learn about each one?
Well, for example, conforms the truth or not? Well, sometimes we might refer to the ruka khanda, which is the trunk of a tree. So, then, of course, depending on our level of understanding, we will consider that at whatever level we're able to, at the level of wisdom that has been accumulated. So it can be a reminder when we just hear that word khanda to be a condition for the development of understanding. But however it might be, we might be reading the word khanda in the Jatakas and we will know what's being referred to. However, it still can be a condition for understanding. All I'm saying, Tanajan, is that it can have different meanings in different contexts, and it will be up for each individual to consider that context carefully, and perhaps it might be a condition for understanding at the same time, perhaps not.
So consider just one khanda, for example, one rupa, just one, not many. Does it arise and fall away?
Yes, certainly, Tanajan, it does. It has to.
So that which arises and falls away is khanda, and that which does not arise and falls away is not khanda. Is that right?
Must be so.
So only one rupa, does it arise? It arises. And does it fall away? Whatever arises falls away instantly. So is it a khanda? It conforms with what is there in different context. But the reality cannot be changed at all. So if one take it for the whole rupa, is khanda, not only one rupa is khanda, does it agree and conform with other words, other meaning? In the context, whatever arises falls away, is khanda. Is that right? So a rupa arises and falls away. So isn't it khanda? That's why each word should be considered very carefully. the truth is the truth, never change. And the word about it conform with what is there in the Tipitaka, no matter Vinaya, Sutta, or Abhidhamma. What arises falls away is akanda. Rupa khanda, vedana khanda, sanya khanda, sankara khanda, vinyana khanda. Not when a great number of one reality at a time arising and falling away is akanda, but each one is akanda because each one arises and falls away instantly. So can anyone say what is not akanda? When it arises and falls away in the text, anywhere.
Nibbana is not a kanda, and concepts like tree trunk are not kanda because they're not realities that arise and fall away. So in different contexts, different language might be used, but kanda always has to be the reality that arises and falls away. No matter where it's said.
And I think, Sarah, we can see that what most people think about the five khandas and the thing in terms of groups and whatnot, there's no consideration about rising and falling away completely. It's more like thinking in groups that stay and lasting.
This is why dictionaries can be misleading, like when I think Chanti gave some meanings before in a message that is given in dictionaries. Commonly it says group and heap and this sort of thing. But the dictionaries depend on the understanding of the compilers. Actually, kanda just has one meaning, but what language is used depends on different contexts, whether it's sutta language or Abhidhamma language, but it's always referring just to the reality which arises and falls away one at a time, just one in samsara only.
Because it is reality arise and we call it khanda, because all reality which arise and falls away are dukkha, unsatisfactory.
When we say kanda, it's referring to the reality which arises and passes away. But isn't it also to distinguish the certain type of reality? Is that not also why it's called kanda?
Yes, so visible object is kanda because it arises and falls away. And it's arupa kanda because visible object is arupa. Different from hardness, another rupa. Each one is rupa kanda. Each one arises and falls away. So pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling, they are both kinds of vedana. Each one is vedana kanda. But the kanda refers to each feeling that arises and falls away in the past or now or tomorrow, anytime, anywhere. Each one is kanda, and each one is vedana kanda.
Yeah, so, I think.
The thing I wanted to say.
Eve is trying to say something now.
Yes. The item I wanted to add was that kanda, conditioned realities, concepts are not real. So that gets that out of the way as to what is not kanda. And nibbana is the unconditioned reality. So I found it helpful to keep in mind, bear in mind that kandas are conditioned. Everything arises is conditioned.
It's the last sentence that got me confused, but it's a very nice passage, so I read it anyway. Rupa is not a condition for foe or friend because Rupa does not know anything. It has no evil or good intention. The sound that appears is a reality that does not experience anything. It has no wish for anybody to hear or not hear it. Sound is Rupa, that arises because there are conditions for its arising. The kind of sound that will impinge on someone's ear sense is dependent on conditions. When we are fast asleep, we do not even hear the deafening, frightening sound of thunder. Then, the sound of thunder is not our visitor. However, it can be someone else's visitor when the accumulated conditions which cause the ear sense to be impinged upon by that sound are there. I guess that was the bit that got me confused, that it could be someone else's visitor. I'm not so confused anymore, but that was the passage.
Someone who's not sound asleep would hear.
But it wouldn't be possible for everyone that's not sound asleep to hear the same thunder. The concept, yes, but not the same sound, Rupa.
Each person experiences according to their karma. So, yes, I think it's correct to say that different people experience differently. For some, the sound may be a pleasant object, and for others, an unpleasant object. The same sound conventionally.
Jonathan, I understand that everyone has one sort of karma, and the result of different karma are not the same karma. So we can say that one hears differently or one sees differently.
Like now, we are all here, we're all in the same room, experiencing the coolness of the air conditioner, we can say this. But actually, at one moment for one, it's warmth that is experienced, for another, coolness. And the coolness is never the same from moment to moment. And many, many moments, no experience of any coolness at all. We conventionally say we're all experiencing the coolness from the air conditioning. Or when there's a thunderstorm, we all hear the same sound of the thunderstorm. But actually, it's never the same reality that is experienced from moment to moment or by different cheetahs at this moment in the same room. No. It depends on karma and what has impinged on the sense door.
Your voice being heard by all of us are all different rupas.
Yes.
Not the same.
The sounds heard are different. The visible objects seen are different. Whatever is conditioned to impinge is different at each moment for each one.
Well, as we know, the same sound can be at a pleasant level for one person and can be excessively loud for another.
Can we say that different moment instead of different people?
It's actually no people, Ajahn. It's only each experience. Yeah.
Different cheetahs experiencing different realities at different moments, depending on many different conditions.
Different kanda.
Different kanda, yes, but I find the different moment, the time idea, harder to answer.
When kanda arises and falls away.
At a different moment, can it ever be the same kanda?
No, not for this live stream, but if we're talking about many people, can there not be one same time? Although there are different kandas, different, like we said, your voice is different rupas for different people. But isn't there one time
but Chanti, we know that rupas rise and fall away compared to chitta, not as fast as chitta, but it's still very fast. Still very fast. And the rupa that contact an ear base also contact another ear base?
No, it's not that, but Khunsu Jin asked one moment, or I can't remember this, the question now, but I was considering, of course, we don't have the same object, but time is not an object, so I don't know what time is. one moment, one time, one.
Shanti, in Tipitaka, they're saying like just like this, million chitta is already arisen and fallen away. It's so fast.
Trillions.
Trillions.
Well, let's make it bigger. This life stream of this personality, is it happening at the same time as all the other chittas of other people?
When there are conditions, dhammas arise by conditions.
I'm just confused about time, the concept of time for everyone. Is there one same time for everyone? Not experience. Is there one common anything?
Yeah, instead of thinking about people and things, what about a moment of the truth? What is there?
Yes, you were asking that question and then I got confused. Is there one moment?
If we don't say this person here, that person here, just hearing, the moment of hearing, we can talk about that. And that is the absolute truth of what is there. The reality which experiences sound is hearing, what we call hearing, a moment of hearing here and then instead of this person or that person.
Again, it's because of this passage, I guess, that how if there's not a same time, then when there's someone fast asleep not hearing the sound and someone else could be hearing it with the right conditions. So that means at the time of the thunder, there's a single time and one is asleep and the other here.
Always person again. But what about a moment with our conditions? There cannot be such moment of hearing or thinking or seeing. Moment, not a person.
I think, Chanti, what may be the confusion is that a chance point in that wherever you read it is just showing that for hearing to arise, there has to be conditions for hearing, including sound contacting the ear base. So when there is no condition for sound, if sound does not contact the ear base, then there's not going to be any hearing. So the example of thunder is just a conventional way to put it, thing across. It's not meant to for us to now think that, oh, is there a situation where there's a sound of thunder that can be heard by many people at the same time? It's not that. It's just Achan is explaining about realities, about momentary realities, just by giving that conventional example.
But even in the truth, there's no thunder. It's just a sound and all that. Everything comes from thinking only.
Well, it's just that I didn't know if I could honestly answer the question of Khunsa Jin when she said, is there only one moment? Yes, for me, but I don't know for you. So for me, of course, only one at a time.
So I think what you said before about just a moment, because yes, in truth, it's a moment only,
yes,
from moment to moment. Yeah. So mm-hmm. When we talk about hearing, it does not belong to anyone at all. No matter when or where it arises, it's just that which is conditioned to experience sound by condition. And the understanding of the truth of reality is only way to let go the idea of self, because actually, what is self? It's seeing self or I or someone. It's hearing someone or I. Not at all. it's not there anymore. As soon as it has arisen, it falls away instantly.
I'm starting to realize that there's clinging to time. So that is clinging to I again. Just have to forget about the idea of time, yes.
Well, I don't know about having to forget about it, but perhaps there might be conditions for that. When I heard about this concept you have of what you mentioned in the book about different visitors, I think I just heard that as there are different visitors at different times to different people, depending on conditions. And I don't think it has to be, sometimes that seemed clear to me, but I'm hearing that perhaps it's not so clear to you, and that's okay too.
And I think the concept of visitor is really good, because only one visitor in one house at one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like this very much too, and I don't know why the confusion came. I can only now, by considering and Constantine asking me, realize somewhere there is conditions for grasping onto thinking. Well, I'll let it rest. Thank you.
It sounds pretty normal to me. Different visitors at different doorways appearing now.
Can we even say that hearing arises at the same time now? Because hearing is just one citta, and there are all the other cittas in that ear door process, followed by many bhavanga cittas, countless mind door processes. So how can the hearing be synchronized to arise together, to hear the same sound? It's impossible. Cannot be like that at all.
Well, it's very interesting how there's more interest in this concept than just experiencing now.
I mean, that's what Sarah was talking about earlier, that the interest, when Achan was talking about interest, that our interest is usually in stories.
And even when talking about Dharma, the interest in different stories about the Dharma, about like the Jataka story or the story about time or the story about other people's experiences, all these different interests and different stories all take one away from the understanding of what is real right now. And so back to Nina's point, this is why we come back to talking about seeing right now, what can be understood at this moment, what appears now.
But again,
lost in the world of nimitta again.
Yes.
And of arising conditions for avijja at this moment cannot make it stop when it has to be there.
Small point I want to say, right, when we get lost in the story and come back like this, try to come and understand, but again, there may be the idea of trying to come back at a present moment. That is like meditation or trying to something and all that. That is wrong. That's the wrong path. So it's not a matter of doing and anything. It's just understanding.
There was a question about my friend. She kept on asking that the Buddha spoke about preaching to his mother, a deva, and that is the conventional reality. And she was wondering, is that useful? She thought it's very useful that the Buddha spoke about a conventional reality. But I think that we don't have to stop thinking of conventional reality for all of us, who is our mother and father and so on. So that makes no difference. But she kept on returning to this question.
I think it's the same as what Ajahn said about when we're talking about khandhas. No matter what it said, like the Buddha preaching to his mother who is a deva, we have to understand what the deep meaning is. In truth, is there any Buddha? Is there any mother? Is there any deva? Or is it just a shorthand way of talking about different conditioned realities? So these are the layers and layers and layers to be penetrated, the layers and layers of ignorance to be penetrated in order to understand the realities, the khandhas arising and falling away all the time. Like now, we can say we're talking about Dharma together in a discussion, but in truth, there's no we, no anyone. They're just different chittas, chetasikas, and rupas. And it's the same whatever we read in the text. But it depends on the understanding, what is understood, what is appreciated.
Yes, like you say, in truth there's no Buddha. Maybe that can help people to understand better.
If there's the understanding now that actually they're just moments of seeing and hearing and thinking, no one that is hearing a sound, no other person, just different khandhas arising and falling away. Little by little, there can be the appreciation that this is all there is in life. So in truth, no Ajahn, no Buddha before, no Deva, not anyone. But it has to come back to the understanding what is true right now, the seeing right now, what is seen right now, different realities arising and falling away. Otherwise, there will always be the idea of someone here, someone there, my experience, their experience, and so on.
But I think we don't have to stop thinking of conventional notions.
Yes, Nina. That's because there's conventional reality because there's paramattha dhammas. If there was no paramattha dhammas, there wouldn't be concepts. Mm-hmm. So for people, as in the case of the Buddha's mother, who had such a high level of understanding, there's no misunderstanding. Even conventional teachings, by way of conventional teachings, the Panya, it was enough for Panya to rise to understand the realities.
Like we said about living in the world of nimittas and so on, no matter whether an arahat or someone who has never heard the Buddha's teachings, the truths are the same. There are still the different realities arising and falling away. So it's not a matter of the language spoken or the words used, but the understanding of the truth, the understanding of what khandha is at this very moment.
I found it so helpful, again, listening. It was a discussion in Sri Lanka with a monk, and he didn't understand why Kunshi Jin always stresses so much the importance of understanding paramattha dhammas. And he didn't understand dukkha, why things are dukkha. And I realized when listening, there was constantly confusion about, for this monk, concepts being dukkha. And it helped so much that Jonathan said, concepts are not dukkha, are not anicca, are not anatta. And it struck me, because I understood, but we so often forget that it's not the concepts that are dukkha. And well, I just wanted to share it again because it's so important. They are the characteristics of the realities. And that's why we talk about realities, because every person who is meditating will say, well, anicca and anatta and dukkha, especially dukkha, are very important. But then we'd be talking about concepts. And if they really understood that these are only characteristics of realities, and it's logical we discuss realities and try to understand.
Yes, it's the development of understanding of realities that brings the understanding of no person, no table, etc. I think the reminder of what needs to be understood is the useful reminder rather than necessarily what is going to come to be known at a much later stage when understanding has been more fully developed, because the reality of that cannot be directly experienced.
Since we were talking about khandhas, I'm thinking about it, and what I notice is that when I try to name a reality, like seeing, I'm getting away from it. So when I'm trying to intellectually understand the reality, it seems I'm missing what the reality is. Is that something you can appreciate or see as well? So at this, when we are talking about the meaning of reality and the meaning and the whole process of what is happening, at some point we are just missing it because we are talking about it instead of experiencing it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think you mentioned trying to understand realities, and that is part of the problem, not the solution, as we've discussed before. The problem is always the lack of understanding, that is to say, the amount of ignorance and perhaps wrong view. The problem is not talking about realities rather than experiencing them. The problem is there's not enough understanding yet for realities to be seen as they truly are. This is not something that can be fixed by any effort on our part. It's something that has to come and happen in its own good time. If one has no interest in hearing about realities, then of course one wouldn't bother to join the discussion. If we talk about the value of the Buddha's teaching as something that is useful to hear repeatedly, then that means that hearing about realities can't be a bad thing.
No, I'm not so much saying that it's a bad thing, but when I name a certain reality as a khandha, for instance, it takes me away from that reality. It attaches a sort of a meaning to what is being experienced. It sort of struck me that if you think about realities, there seems to be no meaning. In the reality, there is no meaning. It is just a reality, nothing more. So there's no need for the reality itself to distinguish it, whether it's a rupa or whether it's nama. It is just a reality without any meaning. It's just process.
Yes, that's correct. That's the nature of realities. They have no personality. There's no idea of individual related to reality when it's the object of understanding. The question is, what is useful to hear?
Yes.
Because without hearing repeatedly about realities, there won't be the consideration, the reflection on them. Certainly, no one is suggesting that realities be named as a particular khandha, this kind of khandha or that. That sounds like, to me, a kind of practice that might be taught somewhere, but it's not being suggested here.
No, I understand that. I understand that. I was just sharing what was happening, sharing mm-hmm. that while we were talking, I was trying to understand what was happening by naming it. And then because we were talking about khandhas, like khandha is only a word to point towards reality. It's not khandha itself is not the reality. It's just pointing to something. And I was trying to find words for what was happening, but it is not in the words. It is only in the reality, and it doesn't have a meaning. So essentially, a reality is not a khandha. It is just that which is what is happening. And I can understand that by talking about it, but the talking itself is not the understanding. The understanding is in the experiencing itself. Well, something like that.
Can we put it, Mark, that what is seen now, the visible object, actually is just what is seen. And if there's understanding of what is seen, there's no thought of the word visible object. There's no thought of the word rupa. There's no thought of the word kanta, even though the visible object is rupa. It is kanta. It is that which is seen. But when there's understanding, no word at all, because it's just that reality which is understood at that moment.
Yes,
but
that's
without
it.
Using these words to communicate, using the different panyati which are used to communicate, there would never come to be the understanding of those realities. And that's why the Buddha taught for so long and in such detail.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And I find myself clinging to the words because I want to understand. And that's taking me away from what is happening. So
that's
it's good to see that.
But it's natural and normal to have these trains of thought. One has to go through the thinking process. But as you correctly say, it's not the same as the direct understanding of the reality, which is still elusive. But nevertheless, these patterns of thinking are conditioned by what's being heard and talked about.
Yes, and what is also, I think, sort of shocking is that while I am sitting here, all these concepts appear to me. I'm looking at a screen, I'm having my feet on the couch, but that all is not reality. It is thinking and story. So reality is, well, something different. And it's being clouded by all the thinking. It's being clouded by all the, well.
And a final comment from me. One doesn't have to analyze it all too deeply either, because the development of understanding is understanding what is appearing at the present moment.
Right. But we are sort of analyzing now, aren't we?
We don't have to be. And all those experiences that you talked about, Mark, they're dependent upon all those concepts, that conceptual level of thinking. It's all dependent upon realities, and they can be understood. The thinking doesn't have to get in the way, or those concepts, they don't have to get in the way of understanding. And our understanding is only very, 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 very shallow at the moment. But and we need to be patient. But the realities that appear, because the realities that appear are the concepts that we have of thinking about the realities are dependent upon the realities. And that's helpful to realize that if there wasn't the realities, there wouldn't be the concepts. I think that's helpful to know. And like when I think of Sariputta, he heard certain words that Bhante Asaji said. And for him, they weren't a problem. They were a catalyst for his deep understanding to come to the surface. So words are not the problem. It's our understanding. That will always be the problem if we want to identify a problem.
Yes, but clinging to the words is a problem.
Well, yeah, that's axiomatic. That has to be so. Clinging is always the problem. It's our lack of understanding of that clinging.
Mark,
that's the problem.
It's not about clinging the word, like whether we use a name to say this, to say that Buddhas and all that. Buddha say me, I, Sariputta, Mokalana, like that. It's not clinging to word. That is just they know that it's just a concept, conventionally speaking. But when there's no understanding, try so hard to understand and all that, you're clinging to that.
I think that at this point, this is a little bit belated, that concepts are not anathema to understanding. The key thing that arose for me at this moment was about right thinking, and that the learning curve, as far as this, I experience it, is very often there is confusion or muddled thought. And as Jonathan alluded to earlier, the understanding happens later. It develops. So I can appreciate these discussions because the thinking gets off confused and muddled. And here it is remediated. a note of appreciation there. And something else earlier mentioned about people having one moment or experiencing something at the same time. We can all say, for example, we understand Sarah's voice, but no one is hearing the same exact thing or experiencing the same exact thing at the same moment. The pitch, the volume, the timbre, the cadence, and so on. But it's just the citta is so variegated. So something is experienced, falls away completely, and never to arise again in samsara. And then khanda or citta or rupa or reality or something or other, a concept occurs, arises, then that's so many moments after the citta or the rupa has arisen and fallen away. The citta has experienced that rupa.
Would you like to add anything, Ajahn?
I think that to understand each reality clearer is the better thing to do or to consider, because we may think that we understand reality enough, but in truth, what is there now? See? What is there now? Someone might not know at all about what is there now. But the person who has heard about the truth of this moment can say some word about it, depending on how much understanding is there. For example, some might think that nama and rupa, but what about the understanding of what is meant by nama and rupa and khanda, see? So today, what is khanda? Is it clear now that actually what is there now is a khanda? But the person who has heard about the meaning of khanda cannot know what is meant by khanda. That's why we can talk among those who study and understand the truth of khanda, whether it's a khanda now or what is there now is a khanda. Is it right? When there is more understanding, we can talk about what khanda is there now. So anything can be talked about when there is understanding. And the benefit of talking about the truth is having more understanding and clear understanding, not just the word. Like khanda, see? We think in terms of people all the time. Seeing, I see, and the others see, but in truth, only seeing arises, no matter when and where. And we take it for this person see, or I see, or that person see, but seeing just arises by conditions, and then gone. Never be the same for anyone at all. Just one moment in lifetime, and in samsara. And to consider whether it's true or not, this is the way to lead to more understanding of the truth. Whether is there anyone in the world, or what one takes it for someone or something, is only just different realities which arises and falls away. So that which arises and falls away, so different at a time, never be the same at all, is akhanda. Akhanda means that it cannot be the same as the other moment. Otherwise, we read Tipitaka without understanding of what is khanda. We take the whole group of rupa as khanda, but what about just one rupa? Doesn't it arise and falls away? If it arises and falls away, the meaning of it is arises and falls away is that which is conditioned to arise and falls away, never to return. Sanya, Vedana, Sankhara, or Vinyana arises and falls away. Akhanda, akhanda, akhanda. So now, how many khandas at moment of seeing? One khanda or more than one? how many khanda, how many khandas now at moment of seeing. There cannot be just vinyana khanda which sees. There must be a khanda which is seen. Because seeing is not that which is seen. And if that which is seen doesn't arise at all, how can it be object of seeing? How can it be seen? That's why it's not wrong at all to understand the truth of whatever is there. It has reason and it falls away instantly. And that is the meaning of khanda, past, present, and future.
Whatever we read about. It has the same meaning. It is about different khandas. For example, I can see Azita is there at the end of the one of the discussions last week. You were mentioning references in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta to sitting and posture and so on. These are conventional terms. That which is taken for sitting now or posture now are actually different khandas arising and falling away, each one a khanda. But we use conventional terms and talk about sitting on a chair and this and that posture. But actually, the Buddha is talking about the different realities arising and falling away to be understood, as Chanti said, as anicca, dukkha, and anatta. It's not the sitting or the posture that is anicca or dukkha. It is each khanda, which conventionally we can refer to as here while sitting or having discussion with each other or while the Buddha was teaching, actually just different khandas. So whatever we read about is about khandas.
So whether it's right or wrong, now seeing how many khandas are there? 5, but only one appear at a time. Only one appears, not 2 together, but they are there together. When we understand what is taken for a group of reality, a group of rupa, is each one is rupa khanda. So no matter how many, they are the group of that which cannot experience the object, rupa khanda, and feeling, see, it arises and falls away so rapidly, no matter what kind of feeling. Feeling cannot be other thing else. So it is feeling, vetana khanda, one kind, one moment of feeling is a khanda. So no matter how many, no matter in this life, vetana cannot be other kind of khanda. It has to be vetana khanda. Each feeling is a khanda, vetana khanda. So now there are 5 khandas, right? But only one appears at a time.
So vetana rises together with the 5 khandas.
Say it again, please.
But vetana arises together with citta, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. So this is why Ajahn mentioned that there are 5 khandas, because all the nama khandas arise together, but
right.
Each one is khanda.
Yeah.
And
there's only one vedana.
Khanda, different rupas arising and falling away. Only one vedana, but each vedana is vedana khanda. Yeah. But when there's understanding of it, it's just that reality.
So sorry, it's not wrong to say that this world is the world of 5 khandas. And the other worlds depend on conditions. How many khandas are there in that room? Deva and Brahma. Mm.
Could I ask Mark to consider that we are not clinging to concepts. We're not clinging to words. We're not clinging to explanations. We're clinging to realities.
clinging to everything, can we say? Even concept, because most people just think and cling to the idea and thoughts.
Yes, but the thoughts are not real. So in reality, we cannot cling to something that's not there. So there are realities beneath that, leaving a shadow. But maybe it helps Mark to consider.
Still the clinging to the stories, to the ideas.
Yes, but they're not real.
I think I think that Achan, instead, we shouldn't be stuck with the word khandas and classify like vetana khanda, sanya khanda, or vinyana khanda, and on. But these are making us stuck to the word, try to classify. But we can understand that all dhamma that are arising and falls away are khandas, because they are conditioned to arising and falls away.
Right now, the question is, can clinging cling to concepts? Are concepts object of clinging? What do you think?
From Mark, or? We're always clinging to Kanda, aren't we?
But the story about Kandas, the stories, the dreams, the fantasies about Kandas. So living in the dream world most of the time, clinging to different stories, ideas, impressions, colors, shapes, forms, ideas about people, all on account of khandas. But still there is the clinging to those dreams and fantasies and ideas. Just before we finish, I just want to ask Maeve or Zita if they want to just say anything too, because it's such a precious opportunity to be able to speak directly to Ajahn. I have a feeling Maeve would like to say something, if you don't mind, Mark. Just
fine.
Ajahn, Sawadika, Mr.
Jesus.
It's wonderful to actually see you after quite a long time, and to have the benefits of your teaching. It may be a little late in the session to be raising this, but we've been speaking a lot about nimitta over the last few weeks. And there are a couple of things that it might be helpful for you to comment on. One is sometimes nimitta is, well, it's referred to many, many things, including being a condition. But I wondered what exactly, how do we describe nimitta? Is it citta? Is it cetasika? So that's the first question. The other is the relationship between nimitta and concentration, because sometimes it is referred to in the idea of developing samadhi, and that there are different types of nimitta depending on the level of samadhi. So it just seems to become more and more complex, and yet quite important to have an intellectual understanding about. So if you would just maybe make a comment on those aspects, that I'd appreciate that, Ajahn. Thank you.
To understand the truth of each word, it's that. But before hearing about its truth, there is no understanding at all about what is there as it is. For now, what appears? See, Kun Jonathan, Kun Sarah, in truth, what is that? What is seen cannot be taken for anyone at all. because it can be just only that which impinged on the eye base, and conditioned seeing to see it only that which impinged on the eye base. That's why at moment of seeing, just very short, one moment, the citta, very short, arising before seeing, and that citta cannot see at all. But it just adverts to the object which impinged on the eye base, but not see yet, but just know that something, a reality impinged on that doorway. And the next moment after that, the previous citta, the past one, condition seeing to arise. Seeing, we use the word seeing, so it has to be only seeing to be truthful. At that moment, the reality which arises after the adverting consciousness arises just to see, just to see. The word of truth cannot be changed at all. It cannot think, it cannot know what is there as something, but it experiences only that which impinges on the ibis. So very, very tiny, very, very small, cannot be taken for anything at all. And then it's gone. And there are many jitters before there can be another moment of seeing, just one moment. And this is true. It's so very, very subtle, because as soon as one opens one's eye, everything is there, seen. Is it possible to have such picture or shape and form to be seen at once? Impossible. That's why it's so very subtle, hidden all the time, without the words of the enlightened one who experienced the absolute truth. But citta, after seeing, cannot see, but experiences the same object, not a picture or shape or form yet. That's why more and more arising and falling away, uncountable conditioned moment of shape and form, different ones with yellow, black, red, blue, short or long, as nimitta, right? And nimitta is something like when we just put a dot on the table. It cannot be mountain or anything, but the more it's dotted, it can condition shape and form as something. Is that true? A moment of seeing on and on until what is seen appears as different shape and form to be known, make known as something that is panyati. But there must be shape and form as nimitta first before it can be taken to be known as something, paper or a book. Even paper or a book is seen. That's why there must be the nimitta of a reality like now, nimitta of seeing only as the reality which experiences an object, no name, but it experiences the object. And when it's seeing or it's seeing, we call it seeing because it sees. Only that which sees is seeing. No one there at all. No other citta as seeing. Only that which sees. So seeing right now is nimitta of seeing. For the shape and form, after it arises and falls away on and on, be taken for something as panyati. That's why with our Paramattha Dhamma, the reality which arises and falls away in split second, so rapidly, very fast, there cannot be any shape and form at all. But as soon as it's seen as a shape, it's taken by sanya, marks and remembers instantly of that shape to make it known as what we take it, for a book, a chair, flower or whatever. So we live in the world of nimitta as long as no understanding of what is there, as it's not there anymore. It appears only when it's there. But even it appears, not only one single reality of that entity at all. For now, not just one moment of seeing for sure. It is the nimitta of seeing when we talk about seeing. And when we talk about that which is seen, it's the nimitta of that which is seen, not which is heard or smelled at all. So now, the world of nimitta, people and things are around, but in truth, no one and no thing, the absolute truth of each reality in each moment.
Ajahn, it does seem that because nimitta is so pervasive, it seems as if there is nothing of which there is not nimitta. Then that is certainly one of the reasons why it takes so very long for understanding to develop. Because is there any exception to, is there anything that does not have nimitta image or replication or any of the other descriptors that we use? Is there any exception to that? Or nibbana, I suppose.
That's what Buddha said.
So everything that we take for, everything that we think is something or someone, memory of everything that we think we have experienced, it's all being covered up, in fact.
That's why we learn to understand just one reality at a time. And then the truth is there. Have confidence of the truth. Be truthful to the truth as parami. Otherwise the truth cannot be the object of understanding, to let go the idea of self or what is there as something.
I think we can continue next week. I know it's been a very special occasion for everyone's